The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
If I told you that there was a quarterback who started his career with an 11-1 record in his rookie year as a starter and won the Super Bowl as a Super Bowl MVP and then went 13-3 to follow that up and lost the Super Bowl but threw for over 500 yards in that Super Bowl and then went 11-5 and also won the Super Bowl and then went 12-4 and made the playoffs and then went 11-5. So in the regular season, he's 58-18 and made four Super Bowls and won two, including a Super Bowl MVP, went 11-2 in those playoff games. So that altogether, he's 69-20. And if he wins game, if he gets his 70th win, he'll be 70-20 with three Super Bowl championships in four appearances in 5 years. Also, he's led the league in yards in that time and in another season in interception ratio. And if I said that player then decided to retire and asked you if they're a Hall of Famer, what would you say? Quarterback. I'd say, yeah. Would you vote him in first ballot? Yeah. Four Super Bowl appearances in 5 years with three wins? Even if it's two wins, he's leading the league in important statistical categories along the way, winning MVP, winning Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, yeah. I'd say he'd have my vote on the first ballot. If he had a short career, I'd still vote for him. Yep. That's what Tom Brady's done since I made the Cliff prediction in 2016, in July of 16. He's had a Hall of Fame career since I made the Cliff prediction. It's unbelievable. Meantime, he's proven what he needed to prove about him and Belichick. Now, it doesn't mean Belichick doesn't have something to say about it. He has years to prove that, you would think. But right now, it's one Brady one, Belichick zero. Belichick did a great coaching job, 7-9 without much. Brady did a better job as a quarterback. He's in the Super Bowl. He had a whole lot. Belichick had not much. Brady had a whole lot. But Brady isn't out in the second round. He went on the road and beat a Saints team that had beaten him twice in the regular season with Drew Brees, one of Brady's main competitors for greatest of the era, right? And then Aaron Rodgers. He beat Brees and Rodgers on the road. And in both games, it came down to pivotal plays that Brees didn't make, tie game in the fourth quarter, and that Rodgers didn't make, end of the first half, three and out in the red zone, or three and a field goal in the red zone, and then end of the game, daylight from the eighth, third and eight, doesn't run it, forces a pass, incompletion, they kick a field goal. And Brady made those plays. End of the first half, Brady throws the touchdown pass. By the way, yeah, Brady wasn't perfect. He turned the ball over three times yesterday. But he was better than Rodgers when he needed to be. High leverage moments. Meantime, look, I have spent a lot of time blaming Rodgers for choking, which he did. I'm not excusing Matt LaFleur. I'm not excusing Coach. Take the ball out of the MVP's hands, who's trying to help you win the game. Give it instead to your enemy, the greatest who ever did it, who's trying to beat you. And then, of course, does. Bart and Hahn talked about it earlier on ESPN Radio. Here's Aaron Rodgers on his feelings about the call to kick the field goal at the end of the game instead of going for it on fourth down.
Well, I didn't have a decision on that one. Yeah, that wasn't my decision. But I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but yeah, that wasn't my decision.
No, it wasn't Rodgers' decision, and it was a blunder by LaFleur. There's no two ways about it. However, whether or not that was Rodgers' decision, here's a way to make it not to take it out of your coach's hands. Rodgers, run the ball in. Talk about quarterback awareness, right? It was right there for him. What do you think is going to happen? You're going to get stopped on the one? Guess what? Coach is going to go for it, fourth and one, with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. He's going to go for it fourth one. You're still going to have to make that two-point conversion. I don't know how much faith I had in Rodgers at that moment in time. But run it in. Go ahead. You're gonna punch it in, or at very least, you're going to get damn close. I don't think you can blame coach for that. Matt LaFleur talked about his thought process in taking the ball out of the MVP's hands and handing it to the GOAT to beat him. Hey, Rodgers, give me that ball. I know you're trying to help us win here on fourth down or the trip to the Super Bowl on the line, but give me that ball. Hey, Tom, here, you take this. You try to beat us now. I mean, that's what happened. What was your thought process, your quote-unquote thought process, Coach?
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards. And knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had four timeouts with the 2-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end. But, you know, we got called for the PI. It didn't work out.
Here's the two important things that Coach just said. He was dead wrong to make the decision he made. But here are the important things. He's revealing what he's thinking. We were 3 and out, 0 yards. Rodgers had a chance to score a touchdown with his legs. He didn't do it. So he didn't trust him in that moment. And then he said, which is more revealing, it kind of deepens the point, or broadens it at least, to give you an idea of what he's thinking. And then we'd need the 2-point conversion. So in other words, after a 3 and out where we pick up 0 yards and Rodgers makes poor decisions, you want me to give him another shot to score from the 8, and then score again on a 2-point conversion when he can't pick up a single yard in 3 downs. Ooh, that's saying a lot. Then he says, and then we needed a stop. We had 4, basically with the 2-minute warning, 4 timeouts, and we got the stop. He's right about that, too. They got the stop. They called a ticky-tack holding call down the field. I don't know if that ball was even catchable, but okay, they called it. But here's my problem. Tristan Wirfs, the right tackle, was held because his man beat him. The defensive end beat Tristan Wirfs. And Jeff Schwartz tweeted at me, former Giants O-lineman, tweeted at me, hey, by the rule book, you know, if you're underneath the guy, if you're hooking, like getting underneath, they're allowed to put their arm there. Like, you know, but really it's like in the NBA where there's a rule meant to stop the defender. Sorry, stop. Well, yeah, in this case, the pass rusher from exploiting the rules in a way that sets up, that kind of frames the offensive lineman. I get that, but that's not what happened on that play. Look from the beginning. Wirfs is beaten. Every part of his body is beaten by the defensive end. So he hooks his arm around him. He hooks him and rides him the rest of the play. It's textbook holding. Textbook. The rule that Jeff Schwartz is citing, I do not believe applies there. Now, do you want the officials calling that there? No. But so too, you don't want the officials calling the you know, PI down the field. Should have offset, right? But it didn't. So I'm just saying, Matt LaFleur, it's not that the smaller points he's making aren't true. It's that the bigger point is, dude, don't be scared. Let Aaron Rodgers try and do his thing, live with the result. Don't give the ball to Brady and the Bucks instead of to your own guy. But was it his fault? If you want to pin the blame on one guy, by the way, Tom Brady gave you the ball 3 times. What'd you get out of it? Nothing. Score a touchdown one of those times. Nothing. If you want to pin the blame on one guy, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's not that Rodgers had a great game. Not when they needed him to most at the end of the first half. 3 and out in the red zone. Misses Davante Adams 3 times, or at least he and Davante Adams failed to link up 3 times. They kick a field goal. Because of that field goal, they left 4 points on the field. And then, when they scored a touchdown later on, they had to go for the 2-point conversion because they left those 4 points. They failed to get it. So instead of 7 points, they get 6. There's another point on top of the 4. Because of the difference between a field goal and a touchdown. That's 5 points. What did they lose the game by? It was 31-26. Those are the 5 points. So you got to make that up at the end of the game. And on third down from the 8-yard line, he had the touchdown if he runs and he never sees it. Tough to blame the coach there. The coach didn't do that. Rodgers did that. Marcus Spears joins me now on the Goodyear Hotline. What's up, Swagoo?
What's up, my brother? How you living?
All right. This is how I'm doing, Marcus. Tom Brady proved me wrong. He proved his point about Belichick. He is going to his 10th Super Bowl with a chance to win his 7th. He just beat Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers on the road. Since I made the Cliff prediction, he has had a Hall of Fame career. In other words, just what he did since I said he's going to fall off the cliff soon. In those 5 years, if that's all a player ever did, I'd put him in the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. So he has absolutely proved his point. But what... this is what I'm saying now. It was an enormous legacy game. There was a lot to gain for Tom Brady, but almost equally, Marcus, there was a lot to lose for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm saying right now, he lost it. That Aaron Rodgers, everyone wants to blame LaFleur. I'm looking right at Aaron Rodgers. Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, man, Max. LaFleur has his part. Aaron Rodgers is going to get the brunt of it, though. One thing you point to is 6 points off of 3 turnovers that his defense gave him. The red zone trips, especially the one where they decided not to go for it on fourth down, I didn't think A-Rod was very good on that particular series.
You're talking about when he had Devontae Adams, the back shoulder throw, Adams wasn't really in position, although it wasn't a perfect throw, I didn't think. And then he gets the ball batted down, and then he throws to the back of the end zone. Also, I didn't think a perfect throw. Or is that the series you're talking about? And then they kick a field goal?
Yeah, they kick a field goal. But the other series I'm talking about when they didn't go for it on fourth was, I think, the one when he threw to Lazar when Lazar wasn't looking. It was another one that was a pick route to Devontae Adams that he didn't get complete. That may be the series. I'm getting them mixed up, Max.
I think we're both talking about we both may be getting a detail or two wrong, but we're talking about that series toward the end of the first half when then Brady finds Scotty Miller down the field.
Right. And so that particular one, and then there was one in the second half. But neither here nor there. You have to get if you're telling me Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback, we get 3 turnovers, we got to win that game. Now, I know it's a lot of other factors. Aaron Jones had a fumble that was very critical, set up a scoring drive for Tampa, a lot of things. But we have to put the onus on Aaron, just like we praised him all season long. So, look, he threw for 346 and 3 touchdowns, all right? That's a good game by all measures of the game. But he didn't do enough to win. And that's where we judge the great ones. Right, so we can't have a conversation about it being Aaron Rodgers without acknowledging that Aaron Rodgers is also the catalyst for why they win so many games.
Oh, he's great. But yeah, he's great. Listen, I'm not arguing he's great, Marcus. He's just not in the GOAT conversation. Like this was a huge look. I know the sample sizes are small in football, and people don't like making these sweeping kind of statements based on very small sample sizes, but I'm sorry. It is what it is. There aren't a lot of games with leverage like that. Those moments do count and define your legacy, and Rodgers didn't get it done, and it's no coincidence, Marcus, that Brady, now without Belichick, year one, COVID, no practices, stuff like that, Brady is going to his 10th Super Bowl. Marcus, it's devastating for Rodgers' legacy, and it's huge for Brady's. Like, I don't know how else to put it.
Listen, for me, it's more about Aaron Rodgers and his legacy than it is about Brady. And because, look, Tom betting on himself created a story for us, right? Like, he knew the team. He knew what they had. He knew that he was probably the missing piece to a team being very good. Max, he going to the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Though. Like, there.
But wait, Marcus, wait, difference. Let's stop right there. He's doing it by beating a team that beat him twice in the regular season and had Drew Brees at quarterback. In the fourth quarter of that game, it was tied. Who wants it? What you going to do, Drew? He's been to 9. You've been to 1. What you going to do? What he did was choked. and Brady came through. What you gonna do, Rodgers? Here it is. You know, it's a you have a chance to tie the game. End of the first half. Yep. You have a chance to keep in it. End of the game. What you gonna do? He didn't come through, and Brady, for all the mistakes he made, did come through, and that's the difference. And now, Marcus, yep, those were his contemporaries. Now he's got young Patrick Mahomes coming. Oh my God!
Now listen. This animal and beast is a lot different, obviously. But if Brady arguably gonna go through three, if he wins a Super Bowl, and which for me, Max, when we start talking about legacy, all right, Brady's legacy is cemented. It never was going to be damaged unless he went to Tampa and caused all kind of problems and won three games. Then we'll look at that year and be like, yeah, he couldn't do it, you know, with his approach. But if he goes and wins this Super Bowl, this arguably is the most impressive run for any quarterback.
Yeah.
Because he's going
on the road against Brees and Rodgers.
He going to beat – if he beat Mahomes, he's going to beat three dudes that we going to think about. Two of them we thought – that could be the greatest of all time, and one probably will be Patrick Mahomes when it's all said.
Can you imagine, Marcus?
And Drew Brees,
can you imagine if Brady, let's say Mahomes has this incredible career and winds up winning four MVPs and five Super Bowls in eight appearances, right? We're going to look at it and go, okay, if Tom Brady beats him this time, we're going to look at it and go, and that's maybe overstating it for Mahomes. As great as he is, there's no guarantees that happens, right? So we look at it and go, Brady went to more Super Bowls, won more Super Bowls, and when Mahomes was in his prime with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and Brady was 43 on a brand new team, he beat him straight up. What?
That is when it changes everything. To me, that changes it. To me, that is the conversation for the greatest professional sports career ever.
Yep.
Like, I get Bill Russell having 11. I understand what Jordan did. I see what LeBron has done. I know what Wayne Gretzky did. Like, but if Brady wins this Super Bowl, Max, we got to, like, acknowledge.
Let's take that one at a time. Let's take it one at a time, okay? Who did you mention? You started it out with Bill Russell. Bill Russell was all-time great. Bill Russell dominated a league that was clearly not in its classical period yet. It was pre-classical period. Like, we got to forget that. That's BC, not a lot of teams, not a worldwide sport yet the way it became. It's not the same thing. The NFL is built for parity. This dude in the middle of a parity era did that.
Yep.
So no Bill Russell, and Wayne Gretzky didn't win enough championships, period. You're talking about Michael Jordan and maybe Babe Ruth, right? Like, that's it.
Yeah. So like, I just want to – you're going to hear me say that a million times, Max, because we may be in an era where 100 years from now, people are thinking, there was this guy, Tom Brady – like, we talk about Babe Ruth. I never saw him play. Mm-hmm. You never saw him play in person. But we all realize that Babe Ruth is this larger-than-life baseball figure because of – look, it boils down to winning and his personality and the things that he did, his role. When Babe left Boston, they was cursed and went to the Yankees and won. Look, man, Tom Brady, to your point, Tom Brady plays – football. Now, Max, I'm gonna say this, and I could be wrong. You correct me if I'm wrong, because you've been in baseball longer than I can. I feel like in the other two major professional sports, baseball, basketball, you can technically buy a championship. Mm-hmm. I really believe that when it comes to
baseball, money is a huge advantage for big market teams, of course.
Yeah, it doesn't guarantee a championship, but you can almost buy your way. That's why it was so shocking when we saw the Clippers lose before they played the Lakers. That's why,
Marcus, by the way, to that point, Babe Ruth was purchased by the Yankees from the Red Sox. They bought him, yeah.
Exactly. So, Max, if Tom Brady goes and wins this championship, because it's going to be – I'm picking the Chiefs, by the way. Let me put that out there. So it ain't going to be no secret to nobody. Today, I am, okay? I may get emotional because of what we're talking about with Tom. But like my point before, if he wins a Super Bowl in Tampa, a team that was 7-9 last year, that hadn't been to the playoffs in 11 years, that, and you telling me, Max, forget everything I said. If I told you there was a quarterback that once played in the NFL that beat Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes to win a Super Bowl, you're going to tell me that's the greatest run ever in a Super Bowl.
I mean, it's one of them. By the way, Eli did beat Favre and Brady, and in a different year, Rodgers and Brady on the way to the Super Bowl. That's pretty good, too. But Eli's not in that category, no doubt. Listen, Marcus, always great talking to you. We're over. We're heavy on the segment. But love you, brother. Thanks for coming on. And let me just say this. We just went over Tom Brady. What if Mahomes wins? Like, if Brady wins, it's just insane. But what if Mahomes wins? You know what that – has there ever been a start to any career? Like, Brady, has there ever been a career like that in any sport, period, if he wins? But if Mahomes wins, 3 years in, he's ahead of Brady's pace. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Marcus Spears joined us in the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven after getting knocked out. Should Conor McGregor call it quits?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Oh, kick left from Poirier, now a right hand.
There is Poirier has knocked out Conor McGregor.
Oh, my God.
Lafayette, Louisiana.
This fight is great. This win is great. We knew his timing on the count of two was some of the best in the game, but I just don't give a f***, man. I'm here to win. If Khabib's not coming back, me and Conor, the two best guys, I think this is a title fight. I'm the champion.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Should Conor McGregor ever get back in the octagon? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Stephen A. Smith goes beyond the headlines to unlock a unique world of hot takes, one-of-a-kind segments, and can't-miss interviews. Stream all this and more on his new show, Stephen A.'s World, exclusively on ESPN Plus. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com, and you can catch me every weekday on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus at 2 p.m. Eastern, along with Greeny at 10 a.m., Barton Hahn at noon, and Shanae Golic Jr. at 4 p.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Okay, Conor McGregor gets knocked out by Dustin Poirier. And by the way, the memes going around, well, people are ruthless. Bernie Sanders in the cold, and it's like Conor McGregor asleep, and takes a lot to get in the, I mean, it takes a lot to fight in front of the whole world and you get your lights put out. And that's the thing. The great middleweight champion of the 1980s, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, former undisputed middleweight champion, best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. By the way, how big was Hagler? One of the most famous guys in sports at the time. Had a right guard commercial, all that stuff. Remember, anything less would be uncivilized, right? You got like the meanest, toughest athletes and had them act all British and anything, right, gentlemanly. The point is, Hagler, who was a monster, used to say it's hard to get up at 5 in the morning and go running when you're sleeping in silk pajamas. It's like an Eye of the Tiger thing, Rocky III, right? It's how do you maintain that edge, that competitive edge, when you got those creature comforts, especially in a game like boxing? Which is not a game. Conor made over $100 million to fight Floyd Mayweather. Has he been the same since? When you know you got that kind of, and by the way, he might fight Pacquiao later in the year, if that fight's still viable after the loss. Conor had his moments in this fight, and Poirier's good. Conor didn't look shot to me. Looked a little bit unsure of himself. But after the fight, he talked about his own inactivity. I agree. It's a hindrance. He needs to be more active if he's serious. Now, here's the thing about the UFC, though. You lose a half step in the UFC, everyone's a killer. Everyone in the UFC is a... Like, in boxing, you can lose, but there are a lot of guys who just aren't really knockout threats. But in the UFC, because of submission, you know, what's the basis? Jiu-jitsu's really, let me isolate a limb and hyperextend it, or choke out your air. That's basically what you're trying to do when you're grappling, right? And then with striking, we know what that's about, right? You're trying to hurt the other person. You're trying to hit them and damage them. everyone is a de facto one-punch knockout artist in the UFC because everyone knows enough submission holds and grappling and stuff that if you make the wrong move, you're out. Plus, there's striking, hands and feet. So, and the UFC only has the best in the world, you know? It's not AAA, it's the majors. So you can't do an immediate rematch with Poirier if you're Conor. And you can't obviously forget Khabib right now. You need to find someone, a striker, who is less dangerous than Poirier to get his confidence back. But here's the thing. Activity is very important. Does Conor still need it? Because Poirier needed that win. Conor wanted that win, and there's a difference. One of my colleagues at ESPN, Tim Bradley, I would say, who's a great boxing champion, I would say Tim Bradley didn't do anything much more than a B+, but did everything like that. Maybe an A- here and there, right? But did everything like that and wanted it more than the other guy. I used to watch him fight and think, boy, the other guy thinks he wants it. Tim needs it. And that dog in Tim Bradley is the reason he was a multiple-time champion and future Hall of Famer. Does Conor still need it, or does he just think he wants it? Because if he just wants it, he doesn't need it anymore, all the activity in the world ain't going to change anything. Reggie from San Antonio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, I was... I know you're talking about Conor McGregor, but...
No, let's talk football. Go ahead.
Yes. The Spygate and Deflategate, does that put a tarnish on Brady and Belichick's GOAT status?
Yeah, it does. It does. But they have enough margin for error there. Like, in other words, you can take them down a peg or two or three, and there's still no one in spitting distance. You know, so yes, that is a knock against them, especially Belichick. But they're so far out ahead of the pack, they can afford to have that against them, and still, who are you going to put above them? Montana and Bill Walsh? It's just they did it for so much longer than those guys. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You putting yesterday on the floor or Rodgers? Which one? Last take next. 888-SAY-ESPN.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Matt LaFleur had a blunder at the end of that game. There's no doubt about it. It ain't his fault they lost. It's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, at the end of the first half, threw three incompletions. They had to kick a field goal, leaving those 4 points on the field. Means they then went for it when they next scored their next touchdown. They went for it and could not complete the two-point conversion. As a result, they were 5 points in the hole, and they lost the game by 5 points. But more to the point, at the end of the game, Aaron Rodgers had daylight between him and the end zone from the 8-yard line, 3rd and 8, game on the line. He didn't run it in. He didn't even see it, I don't think. Worst case scenario, he stopped on the one and LaFleur winds up going for it. And LaFleur, when asked why he made the decision he made, mentioned, we couldn't do it. We couldn't pick up a yard on 3 downs. And now I need to score a touchdown and a 2-point conversion? Took his chances stopping Brady. And by the way, he did, and they had a PI call against him. It was ticky-tack. And by the way, even if you liked the PI call, why wasn't there a holding call on Tristan Wirfs? Would have offset at any rate. Is it LaFleur or Rodgers? LaFleur blundered, there's no doubt. But if you want to know why they didn't win, Rodgers wasn't good enough yesterday. Abdul in Oakland, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Oh, how you? Yes, sir. How you doing today, sir?
Go ahead. Well, what you got, Abdul?
Okay. Oh, I just had to bring up the fact that the Green Bay Packers totally choked, not just Rodgers. So I'm just here to play a little devil's advocate, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about how much pressure Rodgers had on him all game. Mm-hmm. For God's sakes, the Bucs defense had 5 sacks. Tampa Bay, Brady wasn't pressured. He might have had three picks, but that's because he just threw the ball in the air, as far as I'm concerned. Most of those picks were not highly pressured. Rodgers, on the other hand, was not only on the run all day, but his offensive line just could not block the Buccaneers' front seven. So, on top of that, in the clutch, let's talk about how the refs also costed the Green Bay Packers the game. The play to Lazard, the third down to Lazard. If Rodgers would have got that third down, they would have kept the chains moving. That was a crucial third down. Not to mention the fumble.
Yes, there are. Listen, Abdul, I agree. You're pointing out that it's a team game, and there are lots of plays that lead up to the ultimate play. I understand that, and I agree. Brady's team, in certain respects, played better than Rodgers' team. I will say that Rodgers got the ball back off three Brady turnovers, scored a total of 6 points. You know, I'm pointing out that Rodgers, yes, does he have to be better than just good for the Packers to win? Yes, but I thought he was. I thought Rodgers was the best who ever did it before Mahomes came along. But these are extremely high leverage moments that don't often come around. And even if fans on the one hand say, well, that's not fair, you're putting too much on that moment, or if analytics community on the other hand says, Max, are you talking about a repeatable ability or are you putting too much on the? I don't care. In the end, it's not about whether I think you have this repeatable ability or anything like that. It comes down to this is the moment. And I know it's a team game, but in that way, it's not unlike a prize fight. Oh, he was winning the whole fight, and it's not his fair. When he got his title shot, he got caught with one shot. Don't get caught with a shot. What you do is what you did. You know, that's it. That's who you are. That's your legacy. Rodgers needed to be better than he was yesterday, period. Joe from Arizona, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, how you doing today? Hey, I want to talk about one that nobody that was I was fired up. It's let's take you right a little over a minute clock moving, and this is before the Miller touchdown. And the Packers are on the move. They've got two timeouts left. Clock running, like I said, a little over a minute. Rodgers completes a pass, and I'm going, why are they not? Why is LaFleur not calling a timeout? Because you stop the clock, mm-hmm. You regroup, and they turn away real quick. They turn back, and Rodgers is walking up to the line. So
yeah, with
you
that
can
urgency.
Call a timeout there. You leave yourself one timeout with about a minute left. Well, Rodgers should be hustling them up to the line. Long story short, as you know, the drive falls apart. Bucks get the ball back. Miller touchdown. And I just think, you know, that was making me irate. I was just curious your thoughts on that.
Well, you're looking back at it and saying because they didn't get the result they wanted, you didn't like the process. But if Rodgers wants to be cool hand Luke about it, and he can get it done, then that doesn't matter. Then that rhythm that he was playing in was the right thing for him. But that's what I mean. In the end, am I being unfair because I'm ignoring process or different components of the game or whatever? You can say I am. I don't think so. It comes down to how the player who touches the ball on every single down plays in the biggest moments. Breeze wasn't good enough. Rodgers wasn't good enough. Brady was. Will Mahomes be? So far, he always has been.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.